Time magazine came out a few weeks ago, and they had talking about finances in the American culture. And they said for in America, the average American that has credit cards has for every $1,300 they spend on a credit card, they have $1,000 worth of income. Now, how many want to know, you have a problem if you're spending $300 more per $1,000 you make on a credit card if you can't pay it off? How many guys want to know the problem? And let me give you a hint. If you think it's because you want airline miles, chop that sucker up and pay cash for your airline miles. It's cheaper than all of the interest on that credit card, right? And so we're talking about finances, but we're talking about contentment today. And I remember my dad says, Mark, you know, money always talks. I said, what does it say? Bye-bye. How many of you found that it talks? It says hello and good. It says a goodbye a whole lot faster than hello. How many of you guys ever noticed that? And so next week, we're going to talk about sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping. We're going to talk about, I've got a ladder we've built that talks about kind of a giving ladder. We're going to talk about how we can sow and reap. And so, but today I want to talk about contentment. And one reason I'm excited about today is 44 days from today. Now, just wrap your mind around this. 44 days from today is Christmas. That's six more Fridays. How many of you guys are like blown away, like you're growing, it's like time's going way too fast? How many of us are growing smart too, you know, we're getting old too fast and smart too slow? Raise your hand real high, okay? And so I go 44 days, it's like in a week and a half we have Thanksgiving. And so contentment, there's a tradition we have in our home where on Thanksgiving we ask our daughters, and our son, he's 3 and a half, he's thankful for Flash and Batman right now. But we ask our daughters to come prepared before we bless the meal to share what they're the most thankful for this last year, and so thankful that God has given us. Contentment. Contentment is when you get to a place where you're okay without a whole lot. In fact, I love what the author in Proverbs says in chapter 14, verse 30. It's healthy, say healthy, to be content. Some of us are pretty unhealthy. And I'm not talking about your physical shape. I'm talking about just some of us aren't content, but to be healthy is to be content. So secret to financial health is contentment. But envy will eat you up. Ecclesiastes, the author, said, it is better to be satisfied with what you have than to be always wanting something else. Always want something else. This is countercultural. Talk about contentment is countercultural. The world says if you want it, buy it, pay for it later on. But God's world is different than man's world. Are you going to follow the master or Madison Avenue? Okay? And so we're going to look at what does this always wanting more, what are the effects of always wanting more, of never being satisfied with what you have? Number one, there's more fatigue. If you're caught in the rat race of life, be careful not to become a tired rat. You know, you guys ever seen a hamster spin on a wheel? You're like, what are you running from? What are you running to? You ever seen that? You know, and I love what Solomon said in Proverbs. It says, do not wear yourself out to be rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Sometimes our lack of commitment or contentment brings fatigue. It also, the next effect, always wanting more brings, is more expenses. Let me give you an example. If the grass is greener, there's probably a higher water bill. If the grass is greener, there's probably a larger water bill. And so if you know, this whole thing of contentment, I want more. Well, it costs more to have more. And Ecclesiastes author said, the more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. Or if you have more kids, there's more people who want iPhones. They've never wanted the Samsung Galaxy. I don't know why, but we won't go there. My kids are wise. Okay, so what is the advantage of wealth? Except perhaps to watch it run through your fingers. That's the Message translation. So more expenses. So wanting more, there's more expenses, there's more fatigue, there's more anxiety. You know, I spent 10 days in Uganda, and we spent 4 or 5 of those days in a village. And I almost guarantee you, those people slept really good. They didn't worry about much. They worried about if they could catch the chicken for dinner, okay? But I love Ecclesiastes. The author says, a working man can get a good night's sleep, but the rich man has so much that he stays awake worrying. Medical research proves that insomnia is increased with the level of your income. The more income you make, the more insomnia you make, because you've got more things, and so I kind of am glad I can go to bed when there's a big storm on the coast somewhere, because I don't have a yacht. I can sleep good. But the more we make, the more we stay awake. So the more you have, the more you have to worry about. The fourth more that you have is more conflict. Proverbs 27 says, a greedy man brings trouble to his family. Money problems are one of the leading causes for divorce in America, is this tension over finances. When's the last time you struggled with your spouse and it was over finances? Why'd you buy that? Well, I thought we, why'd you, you know? And so this whole thing, contentment, if we don't have it, we have fatigue, more expenses, more anxiety, more conflict, and lastly, more dissatisfaction. Ecclesiastes 10 says, if you love money, you'll never be satisfied. If you long to be rich, you'll never get all you want. It's useless. The number one law of financial freedom is contentment. The secret to financial health is contentment. And the problem is, if you want more, you get it, and you realize that's still not enough, because there's something else out there. There's an upgrade. There's something new. Styles change. And how many of you guys are glad baggy's not in, but tight is? Sometimes I was in Seattle, I thought, you know, boys, guys shouldn't wear pants that tight. Okay. I was also shocked because we were at a large conference, and the worship leader, I don't mind ripped jeans. My daughters have them. They haven't figured out it costs less money without the rips, okay? How many of you guys have seen that it costs less money for the whole jean than half the jean? These guys are leading worship, and they're like ripped all the way open. I'm thinking like, I'm glad they're not my worship leader. They'd be cold today walking into church, right? So contentment, dissatisfaction. Philippians chapter 4, the verse we're going to use as a leap off today, it says this: I've learned the secret of being content. So here's the deal. He's learned the secret of being content, which means contentment can be learned. And he says, I've learned the contentment of the secret of being content, whether living in plenty or in want. Another version says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. I thought, I like that. I've learned to. Actually, I feel bad for those who don't live in Alaska, because this is the best state in the world. How many of you guys are thankful you live here? Those of you that aren't thankful, like the second service, we had a ton of military folk, and they're like, I don't know if I'm happy I live here or not. It's my first winter. And I tell them, don't read the Google reviews, they all lie. Those people aren't happy anywhere they go. But learn to be content, whether with much or with little. The secret to life is to learn how to be content no matter how much you have. Now, I want to talk about, see, it's not natural, it's not automatic, but you can learn how to be content with what you have. How do we learn contentment? Number one, if you're taking notes, if you're following along on our app, you can read through the notes there. Number one, refuse to compare yourself with someone else. Refuse to compare myself with others. How many of you guys have ever gotten that comparison trap? Did you quite feel like you measured up, not quite good enough, don't have what they have, don't look like what they look like, all this stuff. I remember one day we lived in Anchorage for several years before we moved to Fairbanks, and we're driving down to school, and we lived in a neighborhood where a lot of people around us had a lot of money. We just, could afford the rent in that house until, because we had a house in Vegas still type of deal. So we're living there, and we're driving down the road, and one of my daughters says, "Mom, are we poor?" So what do you mean? Well, it just seems like other people have a whole lot more stuff than we have. And my wife says, "No, honey, we're very rich. We just choose to spend our money differently." And she says, "What do you mean?" She says, "Money isn't what drives mommy and daddy. That's not what it's all about." But what my daughter was doing was comparing to all those that had North Face, and she had whatever she had, right? So the whole comparison thing. And see, we must learn to admire without having to acquire. Can you be happy for someone else that might have more than you? If you're not content, you can't be happy. Because the root of comparing is insecurity. So if you're not happy with what someone else, that someone else could have more than you, and you can admire without having to acquire, then there's this tug of war where enough is never enough, because you feel like your security comes from something other than who God made you to be. How many of you know that we just had a dynamic women's conference, and Margaret Russell did such an amazing job with her team. It was an amazing conference this last weekend. And I loved Margaret's heart to talk about one of the key words is you're beloved, you're worthy, and you're beautiful. But the worth, a person's worth is not based on outward appearance, but what God has on the heart. Our identity is found in Jesus. And so this whole thought of contentment, we have to deal with insecurity, or we'll never be content or confident. Like, I want you to see a quick little video. Anyone ever watch the movie Cool Runnings? You did? Yeah, man. I want to watch you show a quick little glimpse of someone who teaches us a lot about contentment. Now, how many of you know that's a powerful statement? If you're not enough without it, you won't be enough with it. If you're a teenager in here, if you think, if I have this over here, if I have the latest iPhone or latest Samsung Galaxy or whatever, that doesn't make you worth more than someone else in that school. The right clothes, the right car, the right status, friends, not about that. The 10th commandment in Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. With some verses say covet your neighbor's wife, but it literally means don't covet anything that your neighbor has that you wish you could have. In other words, learn the secret of being content with what you have. What is coveting? It's uncontrolled desire to acquire. More, more, more. The key is the word uncontrolled. That word in the Hebrew would mean to pant after, long for, race after, run after, get so tired because you're chasing something that keeps eluding you. The Greek, it means to grasp or grab, to keep grabbing. Yeah, you ever watch little kids? They grab everything. You know, you ever watch the nursery? Oh, my goodness. You see flesh every time you're down there. Yeah, nah, it's my toy, you know. Got to teach them how to share, right? Okay, And so this whole thing of the uncontrolled desire to acquire, we call it materialism in our culture. It's to buy things. I said last week, you don't need, to oppress people you don't even know. And if you knew them, you might not even like them. Who are the Joneses anyway? You might like, that's me. Sorry. Hi, Joneses. But what I'm not saying is all desires wrong. Excuse me, I'm not saying all desires wrong. The Buddhists would believe just empty yourself of everything, have no desires. That's what life's all about. It's nirvana. God gives you the desires of your heart. It's not desire that's wrong. It's what you desire for that can be wrong. It's what you grab for, pant after, reach. If it's because you want and you think your esteem or value comes from materialism, friends, you're not. God did not die for you because you drive a certain car someday. He did not die for you because you wore a certain type of shoes someday. He died for you because you're valuable to him because of who he made you to be. Gotta find your identity in him. How to learn contentment? Don't compare, number one. Number two, enjoy what you have. God wants you to enjoy what you have. Here's a fact. He enjoys watching you enjoy. So last week, something really cool happened. Fourth service, our business gal who does the accounting in our church, her name's Valerie, and Valerie had brought some toys into the church that her son had for years that she felt like he'd outgrown them. And then he goes home one day, says, "Mom, where is my Iron Man mask and the little wristbands that have little lights go bzzz, or whatever, they beam up or whatever." And she goes, "Well, I took those to give them to Fulton." He goes, "Those aren't Fulton's, they're mine." And so she's okay. So she came home and says, "Heidi," came back to church the next day, "Heidi, I'm sorry, but I think I need to take those back. Hopefully Fulton doesn't have them." "No, they're right here in the office." So Heidi takes them back. And she goes, "I'm going to be praying that my boy gets to a place where he realizes it's more blessed to give than receive." And so last Sunday, he came to church back for fourth service because he wanted to give Fulton, my 3.5-year-old, his Iron Man mask and his wristbands. And Fulton was back there. He's my little 3.5-year-old, just the cutest little Eskimo boy you'll ever see in your entire life, okay? He's going to change the world someday. And he was in the back there, and Bodie reached down into a bag and brought out an Iron Man mask, and he puts it on Fulton's head and pushes a button, and eyes light up, and it starts talking, and my boy's like, "Yeah!" He's like, "Yeah! Pumped!" Okay? And then he put the wristbands on, and Fulton's like, he went from being Flash Gordon to Iron Man overnight. And he's like, and Bodie's like, just like, smiling, because Bodie realized he was enjoying watching someone else enjoy something that he had given him. I mean, we had talked about last week, stewardship is you simply understanding everything you have is a gift from God already. Right. It's not yours. And so this is desire to acquire. No. And so mom's back there, and she's like, "That's my boy." She had tears in her eyes, like, "I'm raising my son up to be content with what he has, and what he doesn't use, realize he can give it away to bless someone else." It's to enjoy what you have. Ecclesiastes, it says, if God gives a man wealth and property, he should be grateful and enjoy what he has. It's a gift from God. It's a gift to learn to have contentment and enjoy what you have. Some of us can't enjoy what we have because we're chasing after what's next. Chasing after the next thing. And God says, can you just enjoy what you have? Let me ask you, would doubling your income double your happiness? No. It might mean doubling your work hours. Happiness isn't getting all you want, but enjoying all you have. Happiness is not getting all you want, but enjoying all you have. There's two ways to have enough: work more or want less. It's your choice. Two ways to have all you want: work more or want less. Some of us can't enjoy our family kind of enjoy our time because we're chasing after. Rockefeller said this. They asked him one time. He died worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And they asked him at the end of his life, how much would be enough? And he goes, just a little bit more. He's on his deathbed. Just a little bit more. I hope you're not chasing after a little bit more. I hope you're able to enjoy what you have right now. It's the secret he's learned, to be content whether with much or with a little, to be content. I love what Paul told Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or proud, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides with us with everything for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give generously to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. Contentment. The ability to enjoy what you have. How to learn contentment? Don't compare. Enjoy what you have. And thirdly, remember, life is not about things. Or bling bling. Okay, no, never mind. Life's not about, maintain the right perspective about possessions. None of it will last. Luke records Jesus saying this, watch out and guard yourself from every kind of greed because your true life, say true life. In other words, there's a false life and a true life. Watch out for greed. Guard yourself because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be. Life is not all about what you own. Proverbs, the Solomon said, oh God, I ask you of two things before I die. First, help me never tell a lie. How many guys think that's a good prayer? Help me never tell a lie. The second prayer I think is a little harder to say. The second prayer, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. If some of us prayed that prayer, we'd have to change our lifestyle. God, just give me enough to supply my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who's Lord? And if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. What's he saying? Hey, pray to God for this ability to balance this desire to acquire, this need for more. God, help me have enough. Let me enjoy what I have. Let me be satisfied with my needs being met and not my wants being wanted. See, wealth can make you prideful. Poverty, it has the potential to make you bitter and make poor decisions. How do I learn contentment? Don't compare. Enjoy what you have. Remember, life's not about things. And number four, focus on what will last forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul says, we fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Paul's stating, hey, there are things that you can see that you might think are valuable, but those are not the most important things in the world. The most important things are things you can't always see. There are things that have eternal value, and there are things that have earthly value. And sometimes we fix our attention on those things that have earthly value, but they really don't have that much eternal value. I want to propose to you, there's two things that are really important for you to value more than anything. Number one, a relationship with Jesus through the Word of God. His words are eternal. His word, that's why we just finished a Divine Mentor series, because we wanted those at True North to have, so for the guys, a strong relationship with Jesus, for the girls, an intimate relationship with the Word of God. I just don't think intimate's a great word for guys. Like, let's have an intimate relationship with God. No, have an intimate relationship with your wife, okay? But the Word of God. that never changes. And secondly, people. What is of eternal value? What is it that will last forever? Here's the reality. His word lasts forever and people last forever. Look at me. There are some of you in here, maybe you haven't understood this yet, but you're eternal. There's a day you did not exist, but the moment you were conceived, and you might say, well, no, my parents said I'm an accident. No, there's no accidental kids. There's accidental parents. None of you in here are accidents. God formed you and knit you together in your mother's womb. Whether they knew it was going to happen on that night or not, God knew. But he formed you and knit you together. And from the day you were conceived, you became an eternal being that will spend eternity somewhere. You'll spend eternity with heaven, with Jesus. Or the Bible says you spend eternity separated from God in a place of gnashing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. But here's what I tell people. I remember I was a contractor part-time as a youth pastor in Minnesota. And this guy says, hey, you know, why don't you come to church? I don't go to church. I'm going to party in hell. I don't have taxes, but I'll party all night. And I looked at him and I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, how are you going to do that? He goes, with all my buddies. I said, have you ever heard the scripture verse that God is love? He goes, yeah. I said, if God is love and God's not in hell, there ain't no love down there, buddy. No one's going to be looking after your back, and nobody's going to be selling you no crack or anything down there. There's going to be no gas station down there. There's going to be nothing down there. There's going to be weeping, gnashing of teeth, and how can you have fun in a place where there's no love? And then I looked at him and I said, you ever been lonely? He says, yeah. I said, that's the worst emotion in the world because you can be surrounded by people and feel no hope. I said, that's hell.
He goes, oh, I don't know if I want to go there.
No, you don't. Here's the deal. How many of us spend so much of our time to acquire? We think it might make our family happier. It might make the people around us happier. But the reality is they're going, I wished life would slow down and they'd realize. See, some of us are so busy acquiring something for the family, we miss out on our family. The most important thing in the world, people. Where are you at today? I told you when we started this series, you know, that if we went to a doctor for a checkup, that sometimes we go in and they might say, hey, there's a few changes to make. But someday I might go in and they go, you know, you're going to have to totally recalibrate your life because there's some things about your cholesterol. You might need to just tweak some things. You're not in the best health or whatever. And some of you, when I talk about finances, there might be a minor recalibration. Others, it might be a total recalibration and looking at your lifestyle and say, I got to make a change. The series isn't because we're bad with finances. The series is because we want to get healthy as people in regard to how we deal with our possessions and finances. My question for you is, are you focusing on what? Are you fixing your attention not on the things that are seen, but on those things that are unseen? Because what is seen will last only a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. I love, as I close, I want to ask you a couple questions. See, we need to settle this issue of contentment. Before we can look at even laws of financial freedom and debt management, we have to look at this thing called contentment. The reason there's debt is because people don't have contentment. They want more. Until you deal with who you are and you're okay being without at times, but being enjoying what you do have, not searching after what you don't have and grabbing and panting after. We have to settle this contentment. I want to ask you three questions today. And I want you to do an inventory. Number one, what do you think about the most? Talk about and give your time to. What is it you think about? Talk about the most and spend your time. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. What do you talk about the most? Number one. Number two, what am I living for? What are we living for? Well, I want to be able to afford this house someday. I want to be able to have this someday. What are you living for? Or do you want to stand before God and say, you know, I didn't have all the worldly wealth, but my sons and my daughters love Jesus. And I slowed down enough to let them watch me serve him. Parents, if you dedicated babies today, it's not about having all the worldly wealth you want. It's about raising your sons and daughters to love Jesus. Train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. Number three, is my primary goal in life just to get more? Rockefeller, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. You might have to get enough of enough and just say, I've got enough. And I'm going to enjoy what I have. I'm going to learn to focus on what's really important and that which is eternal. And has. I love what David says to, in the psalm here. It's a psalm. He's singing. It's a living Bible. He says, but as for me, he's talking about his relationship with Jesus. My contentment is not with wealth, but in seeing you. That's Jesus. And knowing all is well between us. He says, my contentment is not wealth. But when I see you someday in heaven, knowing all is well between us. And when I awake in heaven, I'll be fully satisfied, for I will see you face to face. When it's all over someday, when it's all over someday, because we're eternal, and when our earthly existence is done, And our air expires, there's no more breath, and we stand before him, will we have the regret of saying, I wished I would have focused a little bit more on the people around me and my relationship with you? Or are we going to be satisfied that, you know, God, I enjoyed my life here, and I'm so happy it's all well, and I'm with you. Where are you at today? Where are you at? It's contentment. I've learned the secret to contentment. I've learned to be okay with a lot and learn to be okay with a little. Where you at? Maybe you're here today. And as an eternal being, you're not in right relationship with Jesus. In other words, if you died today, you do not know for sure you'd spend eternity in heaven. I want to talk to you about that. The Bible says, we all are going to die. It's appointed once for man to die, and after that to face judgment. My question is, when you stand before him someday, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure when you stand that line? The Bible says we'll all die. After that, we face judgment. And if we built with wood, hay, or stubble, it all goes by. But if we built our life on that which lasts and is eternal, it'll be shown for in that day. You can have all the stuff on earth that matters, but what matters when you stand before heaven, God, someday, do you have what really counts? And that's a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Do you have eternal life? Do you know for sure? The only way you know for sure is if you admit you've sinned, you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you confess your sins. The Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive you. Where are you at today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place? Perhaps you're here today. You're not in right relationship with Jesus. You came. You're here. Someone invited you, or you thought, you drove by the church. You thought, you know, today's the day I'm going to stop in. You're here today. You're not in right relationship with Jesus, but you want to begin to forge a relationship with God that matters. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here and you say, Mark, today I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Will you simply wave your hand at me? I want to pray with you. Anybody here say, that's me, Pastor? Anyone, just wave your hand. Say, Pastor, today is the day I want to make a decision to serve you. Just wave your hand at me. Anybody at all? Would you stand with me all across this place this morning? I'm going to sing this song as we close. But maybe you're here today, you want special prayer. Maybe you just want to say, God, I'm just so thankful for what I have. We'd love to pray with you. We're going to open these altars. We'll let you have a time alone. But if you want special prayer, we'll come pray with you. Maybe you just want to say, God, thank you. Or God, help me be content with what I have. But let's sing this song as we close today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are all we need. Help us to be like David, who said, but as for me, my contentment is not with wealth, but God, in seeing and knowing all that's well between us, God. God, let what we chase after and pant after, we be like a deer who pants for the living water. God, may we seek after you. May that be the part in our life where we're not content because we want more of you, not more of all the other stuff. Thank you for that, God. God, again, we pray a blessing upon those, God, that today dedicated their children to you. God, help give them the strength and help us as a church to come alongside and partner and love and help steward their prized arrows and prized world changers they're called to raise. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, thanks for being here. If you have a friend that you think would benefit from this series, would you bring him? Now, I know it's fun. Here's the deal. Let me share one testimony. One testimony before you leave. One testimony. There's still going to be snow on the road when you leave in 2 minutes. I have a friend who says, Mark, I couldn't believe it. I brought a friend I've been inviting to church for 6 months, and they came, and you talked about money last week. He said, but he's coming back today. And guess what? He sat about five rows back on this side, and during second service, I said, who wants to make a commitment for Jesus Christ? And that kid raised his hand, and we talked about money in church. It's not about the topic. It's about the presence of God. If you have a friend that needs to understand how to steward their finances and resources, would you bring them next week? And remember, God loves you, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week. God bless. See you next Sunday.